Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Perfecting Deliverance Radio, hosted by yours truly, Latoya Haley. We are live on every Wednesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tune in and listen as my weekly guests are sharing testimonies of deliverance from strongholds, healing, and the powerful movement of God. As a result of Perfecting Deliverance Radio, many souls have been led to Christ. Call in to the station to speak live with my guests by dialing 347-989-1779 and pressing 1 on your keypad for questions or comments. Also listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/perfectingdeliverance or download the Blog Talk Radio app on Apple Store or Google Play. Follow me on Facebook at Latoya Haley or like my Perfecting Deliverance Ministries page. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Latoya Haley. You can email us at perfectingdeliverance1@yahoo.com. You can contact Perfecting Deliverance Ministries at 731-215-0236. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy the show.
Good evening. You've reached Perfecting Deliverance Radio. I'm your host, LaToya Haley. Today is January the 13th, 2016, and it is approximately 8.05 p.m. Central Standard Time where I am. If you're listening in on the East Coast, it is 9.05 your time, and if you're way out in the West Coast, it is 6.05 p.m. your time way out there if you're Pacific Time, and if you're Mountain Standard Time, it's 7.05 p.m. where you are. But thank you all for tuning in. Today's show is entitled Once Bound, But Now I Am Free. And my guest today is going to be none other than Philandus Harris. And she has an awesome testimony of deliverance from a lifestyle of homosexuality. She will be joining us here on the line here a little bit on later on in the show. But I just thank God for the song. I was talking with her earlier in the week, and that song by Marvin Sapp entitled Thirsty is an absolutely beautiful song. It doesn't matter that it may be a little older, but that's what we need now. We need some of those older songs that are touching, that will touch the soul. Dave, that's what we need nowadays. So the song is absolutely beautiful. So I just thank God for that song that she that she's been listening to lately. It's beautiful. And just a little information about the show. If you're listening in via phone, the phone number here to the station is 347-989-1779. Anytime throughout the show, if you have any questions or comments, you can press 1 on your keypad. That will alert me that you have a question or comment for myself or for my guest. Or if you are listening online, like my mother is right now, she just sent me a message telling me that she's listening online. Thank God for my mother, y'all. But she is listening online right now, and if you know anyone else that wants to listen online, they can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/perfectingdeliverance. Also, you can download the app. If you have a phone or if you have a tablet or if you have a computer, you can actually download the app. If you have an iPhone, you can go to the Apple Store. And if you have an Android like myself, you can go to Google, to the Google Store, and you can download the Blog Talk Radio application. And in the search bar, put in Perfecting Deliverance Radio, and it will bring you directly to the show here. So just that's a few ways that you can also contact us. Also, you can the chat line is open as well. So if you're on Blog Talk Radio, if you're online right now, you can kick into the chat room. It is open. Also, you can, if you have some questions or comments that you want to ask or make and you don't want to ask them online, or you're unable to get online because it looks like the lines are filling up, but if you're unable to get online, you can reach me on my Facebook page, LaToya Haley. Also, you can go to the Perfecting Deliverance Ministries page and you can contact me there. And let me know if you have a question or comment. Just let me know what you think about the show and how everything's going. Just let me know that you're listening in. But we just thank you all for all the listeners that are listening in right now, or however it is that you're listening in. We thank God for you. And today, just tell you a little bit about my day. Today, it was absolutely beautiful. Very sunny. It's been sunny for the last 2 days. Today, it was approximately 50 degrees. It's like 40 degrees right now, which is a heat wave considering where I was at for the last few days. I was with my sister up in Illinois, and on Sunday it was a high of 8 degrees, and minus 14 is what it felt like. So I think I've been in Tennessee too long, and I was extremely cold, so I'm so happy to be back down here. I miss my sister and I miss my niece, though. Those are my babies, and I miss them, but I don't miss that weather, so I'm glad to be back home, glad to be back in West Tennessee, enjoying this weather here. Tomorrow's supposed to be 60 and sunny, so I'm just so happy. I got to work, but that's okay. I'll be outside all day, as much as I can. So just thank God for that. You all just keep our world in your prayers. So if you didn't get a chance to tune into the State of the Union address on last night, we know that this was the last one for President Obama. We know he'll be checking out coming later at the end of the year. So you all keep him and his family in your prayers as they exit the White House, that God keeps them, keeps their loving arms of protection around them after they leave the White House. Their job will not be done. Obama's job will not be done when they leave the White House. They will be continuing to work. He just won't be there. But you all just keep him in your prayers. Keep our presidents, all of our presidents, whoever may be coming into office, keep them in your prayers, because we know that this world is wicked. And we know how things can be. So you all just keep praying for him. And again, I just thank everybody that's joining in on the line right now. My guest, again, is Philandus Harris. I'm going to read her bio here, and then what we're going to do is take a small commercial break. We're going to come back, and we're going to introduce our guest. And we're going to talk briefly and just chit-chat and have girl talk, and I'm going to ask her some questions and some surprise questions and a little bit of everything. So we're going to have a good time tonight. So Miss Philandus Harris here she's a 24-year-old college graduate from Eastern Michigan University with a bachelor's degree in communication. This past summer, she relocated from Michigan and now resides in Dallas Tech. She has shared this awesome testimony of the delivering power of Jesus on several radio shows and church services. She is a member of at the Potter's House of Dallas, where the world-renowned Bishop T.D. Jakes is the senior pastor. She is a passionate musician and loves seeing others experience the power of the Holy Spirit. That's none other than my guest, Philandus Harris. And at this time, we're going to take a small commercial break. If you have to go to the restroom, if you want to grab some popcorn, if you want to grab you something to drink, if you need to put the kids to bed, whatever it is that you need to do, make sure you take care of that. Give us about 2 or 3 minutes, and we're going to take a small break, and then we're going to come back. But you all just hang tight, and we'll be back with you here momentarily.
Here's a few reasons why people don't go to church.
I can't come to church until I get my life together.
Church is how I got my life together.
Church is filled with a bunch of hypocrites. And there's always room for one more.
All they care about is your money.
They care about me, not about my money.
Is there some kind of dress code?
Yes, the code is wear some clothes.
Church, it just makes me nervous.
I was nervous at first, and then I felt right at home.
I'm not sure I believe everything that you believe.
But you can still belong.
Church is for wimpy, girly men.
You want to say that again?
If you knew me and what I've done, you wouldn't want me.
If you knew me and what I've done, you wouldn't be worried.
You can come to my church even if you were brought up Catholic,
Baptist,
Methodist,
Jewish,
Mormon,
Lutheran,
Pentecostal,
Presbyterian,
Church of Christ,
Southern Baptist.
A little bit of everything and a whole lot of nothing.
See, it's not about a religion, it's about a relationship.
So please, come to my church.
Where nobody's perfect.
Where beginners are welcome.
Where socks are optional.
But grace is required.
Where forgiveness is offered.
Where hope is alive.
And where it's okay to not be okay. Really.
Like every week, but would you like to ride to church with me? Oh, come on, Mrs. Edwards, you like my church. we have some hot music. It may not be what you're bumping at all, but it's hot. We get down. What do you say, Mrs. Edwards?
I suppose.
I've heard it said that 80% of first-time church visitors come because someone personally invited them. All people need to feel loved and wanted, and for some people, it just takes having someone offer to give them a ride to church. We have something great going on at this church. People's lives are being transformed by God's love. Your homework this week is to find at least one person who could use a little more of that love and invite them to come with you next week. Trust me, it's worth the extra effort.
Mrs. Edwards, you want to listen to some music on the way? Go ahead, your choice. Okay, here we are. Hi-ya!
And we are back, and you have reached Perfecting Deliverance Radio. I'm your host, LaToya Haley. In case you're just tuning in, a couple ways that you can reach us here. The station number here is 347-989-1779. So you can listen online via website is www.blogtalkradio.com/Perfecting Deliverance. At this time, I do have my guest, Ms. Philandis Harris, has actually joined me on the line here. Ms. Harris, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Just cold here in Michigan.
I know we were talking to you, telling me that you're further north than I was, so I know you are cold and it's snowing up there and everything. So I'll be praying for you that you have safe travels. Come back.
Thank you.
Come back down south where it's warm at. What was the temperature when you left? When you left Dallas?
When I left Dallas, it was probably like 59 degrees, but it kind of felt like the low 60s. And here in Detroit, it is about 12 degrees, and it's snowing, and the wind is blowing at a million miles per hour. So that was a bit of a shock.
Thank God for you being online this evening. My callers and listeners have been eager for me to have you on the show, and I just thank God for you taking time out of your schedule for you to be able to join us on this evening. If you can just tell the listeners a little bit about you briefly, and then we're going to go on further in our show.
Oh, sure. As Ms. LaToya said so elegantly earlier, my name is Philandis Harris, and I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan. And just this past summer, I finished my bachelor's degree at Eastern Michigan University. And I relocated. You know, God spoke to me probably 2 years ago that I needed to relocate to Texas after I was done with college. And so I finally made that transition after finishing school this past August. And you know, I've just been going to church at the Potter's House. My mentor and I, we joined, and God has just really been connecting us with some amazing people and opening a lot of different doors for ministry opportunities. And so, you know, I've done a lot of radio show interviews since August. It really took off. I was doing a lot of those, and so just bear with me. I might sound a little nervous. I might stumble over my words a little bit, but I'm definitely excited to be on the show here tonight to share and to hopefully just encourage some people and restore some lost hope to the people that are listening.
That's something that you said that's key, is that's what this is about, that we're wanting to restore hope for someone that feels that as if they are lost and that they have no way and that they have nowhere to turn to. That's what this show is about. And reaching out to everyone, so we can get some people back on course. And this is not about self; this is about Christ. So it's okay to be nervous. Believe it or not, I get nervous every time I do my show. It's just becoming less and less. But I'm always nervous, and because I'm not in self, I'm in Christ. So this is not just me. I'm doing what I'm doing because Christ is leading me, and that's what we should make sure that we keep Him center of everything that we do, and not just doing it out of self, because we're not the ones that's getting the glory. That God is getting all of the glory. So again, I just thank you for being on the show. But we know that this show is geared towards a lifestyle of homosexuality deliverance, and I know that my story is different from your story, and I had Ms. Timmons, Anisha Timmons, on last week, and she was telling me her story. She was sharing her story, her testimony on last week, and I know that you have an awesome testimony of deliverance. But when you got into that, how did you actually get into that lifestyle?
Yeah, that's a very important place to start. I like to tell people that the way that you were brought up and the things that you experienced in your childhood, that is very important when it comes to trying to get answers and trying to get to the root cause of things. And so for me personally, I actually just found out about, it was probably 2 years ago now, I was having a conversation with my father. And I don't know what we were talking about specifically, but I remember expressing a desire to him that I wanted to know everything that there was to know, like about myself. I don't want anything to be hidden anymore, and I just want to know the truth about everything. And he ended up telling me that when I was about 2 or 3 years old, I was molested by a close relative of mine, and it was a male. And when he said that, it was like so many light bulbs went off in my head, because I was like, you know, I always felt like something happened to me, but I just couldn't remember what it was. And it made me realize why I had certain struggles that I had, as far as struggles with pornography and masturbation and all of that. And so that's the root cause of how I got into that lifestyle. And God has actually just started dealing with me in that area of molestation this past year in 2015. And he was showing me that whenever I was molested at such a young age, the enemy used that situation to plant seeds of hatred and fear and rejection and abandonment towards men. You know, I didn't feel protected, even though my father didn't know when it first happened, you know. I still felt in a place in my heart, I felt unprotected. I felt like he wasn't there for me, even though that's not the truth. That's how my heart received it. And, you know, actually, that was the first time that I was molested. But God has been dealing with me lately and unlocking different memories that I've had from my childhood. It wasn't just one time that I was molested by a man. It was several times throughout my childhood. And when I say childhood, I mean from the age of 2 till like probably the 3rd or 4th grade. And at that time, I was probably 8 or 9 years old. And so the molestation, that's the root cause. And with that, you know, it kind of perverted my perspective of men, and it made me feel like I didn't have a good example of what a man was supposed to be like to a woman, just beyond a romantic level, even a father-daughter or just a platonic relationship, because I had experienced abuse. And so I didn't think that I had a good representation of what a male was supposed to treat me like. And so I became really tomboyish early on. I always dressed in baggy clothing, and I didn't like anything girly. I didn't like to play with Barbie dolls. I didn't like girly colors. I didn't like girly anything. I was really tomboyish. And, you know, it kind of just subconsciously made me feel like I wanted to show all the broken women in the world what it would be like to have a good man, what a good man was supposed to look like, how a good man was supposed to treat them. And so I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but that's basically how I got into that lifestyle.
And I'm glad that you brought that up, that as far as the molestation that has taken place, that had taken place in your past, and how you're still dealing with that, and how you're tackling that now. And that's what we have to do, and not just brush it under the rug. We have to deal with things instead of just putting them to the side. And that's something that happens a lot. People are shunned away from the truth, and then when they get into their adulthood, it really, really it becomes an issue, because they're having to deal with life itself, because life then, as an adult, is already tough, and then it's like, okay, well, you have to deal with this as well too. So it's good that shows us that we're human, and it's a good thing that you're actually dealing with that, because my story is not that I wasn't molested. It's just a lifestyle that I chose. I just got into it when I was 6, just started having those feelings, those ill feelings towards women. And it's not like there was a man that came in and molested me or anything. My father has always been there. My father has never left me. He has always been there. He's been the perfect father. I couldn't ask for anyone better than, I mean, he's the best father ever. I couldn't ask for a better father than him. And I've always said that when I do marry and have a husband, I want somebody just like my father. So it's everyone's story is different, but I'm glad that you're dealing with your past, because it's going to help your present, and it's going to also help your future. You don't want to take a lot of things into your, when you do become a woman who's married and everything, you don't want to take those things into a marriage, because it causes problems with not just yourself, but with your family and everyone else's family and your friends and everything. So that's good that you're actually dealing with that. That's beautiful.
Absolutely.
That you're actually dealing with your past and everything. That's what made you feel like you were born the wrong gender. I know that when I first heard your testimony, and I was reading that you were actually, that you really felt like you were born, you know, completely wrong. And what made you feel like you were born the wrong gender?
Well, like I said, I think that started subconsciously with the molestations that happened in my childhood. You know, I believe that when a young girl is molested or raped, it can make her feel severely insecure about her femininity and about her her vulnerability as a female. And so I believe that definitely had a lot to do with it. But I'll say that when I was in the first grade, I had my first night terror. That's what I call it. I don't like to call it a dream, because it was just tormenting. I had my first night terror, a girl approaching me and kissing me on the lips. And I remember in the dream when she did it, it made me feel completely disgusted and sick to my stomach. And when I woke up, I had that same feeling as if it had actually happened. And so from that point on, you know, I began to, it perverted my perspective of women. That's when I started having those desires. But what made me feel like I was born the wrong sex was the same thing, like those night terrors. By the time I reached probably the end of middle school, going into high school, every night I would go to sleep, I would have dreams that I was a boy pursuing women sexually and engaging in sexual activity with them. And it was like the dreams felt so real. Like I would wake up feeling like everything that I dreamed about had just happened. And so these dreams, they happen every single night. Like even if I laid down to take a nap, I was always a boy in my dream. And so in my mind, I'm like, okay, why do I keep having these dreams? Like, is it a situation where I was supposed to be born a boy? And so I started to take that into consideration. Like, okay, maybe I'm actually supposed to be a boy. Maybe I was born the wrong sex. And that became a justification for me to live the lifestyle that I was living. So it's like in my mind, okay, well, maybe I was born the wrong sex, and now I should live the way that I would live if I was born the right sex, which would be to date women. And so in my mind, it was really twisted. It's like, okay, I'm actually a female, but I feel like I'm a male trapped in a woman's body, and I should live the life that's more true to what I feel like on the inside. And, you know, at that time, you know, I wasn't receiving any attention from males. Like, no guy was interested in me. They weren't trying to pursue me. I was getting all my romantic attention from women, and that's what I was good at. And so once I came to that conclusion that I was born the wrong sex, I determined in myself that I was going to play this part to the best of my ability, so much so that other people began to mistake if I was a woman or a man. You know, I would go out in public. People really couldn't tell. They would approach me and be like, are you a girl or a boy? And I would thrive off of that because I felt like I was being successful at looking like what I thought I should have been, because I studied how boys walked, how they talked, how they carried themselves, and I studied them, and I adapted those behaviors to better play the part that I thought I was supposed to be playing.
Wow. That's you know, I have to think back to when I was in that lifestyle. You said something that when you would go out, that people would ask you and approach you and say, you know, I ask you, are you a male? Are you a male or are you a female? And I remember one time I was at Walmart, and I had, this is one I actually have. If you haven't looked at my page, you can go check me out on Facebook at my page, Latoya Haley, but I have a side-by-side picture on there where my hair is completely cut off. It's a before picture where it's completely cut off. And I remember this particular day, I was actually in Walmart, and my hair was cut off, and it was cold outside. So I had a big old coat on, jeans on, Tim's on, hoodie on, and I had this hat on. And I remember this guy walked up to me, walked up behind me, and he was like, you know, excuse me, sir, I'm trying to get around you or something is that he was saying. And it made me feel some kind of way because I was comfortable the life that I was in, because, again, I was living my life as a man. But when he said that, you know, he was like, excuse me, sir, it made me feel some type of way. I was just like, no, I don't want him calling me a sir because I am a woman, but I dress like a man, and it's like I didn't want to be called sir. It was very odd. I didn't want to be called sir, or I know sometimes I would get those looks, especially going into the women's restroom. Oh my God!
Oh, yeah.
It would be awful because I mean, again, I'm dressed this way, and I'm going into the women's restroom, and I've seen women pull their little girls out of there, take them out of the restroom, and leave out of the restrooms because I'm coming in, and they think that you know, that they're in the wrong restroom, or they know that I'm a woman and they're just trying to get out of there. And it made me feel so bad, and I just can't believe that I stayed in that lifestyle so long and kept doing what it is that I was doing. But now that everything has transpired and I'm back to the place where I am now, I know that God is getting the glory. And I was in that lifestyle for that time period for a reason, for such a time as this, and for the ministry that God has given me. So I don't regret anything from my past. I wish that I would have come out sooner, but it wasn't God's will at the time. So I'm just so happy and just so thankful that I'm a full fledged woman now, and I'm not getting those looks when I go into the restroom. Or anything. I just walk into the restroom as a young lady, and I come out as a young lady. And I've had a lot of people on my page that have inboxed me, and they're like, Latoya, she is beautiful. And I'm like, yes, she is. She is absolutely adorable. She's 24, and I said, when she gets married and everything, I said, she's going to be a beautiful bride. She's going to have beautiful children. I said, she's absolutely beautiful. And I wish and I hope and pray that someone maybe listening in right now, that if they are struggling again with their femininity, whatever it is that they may be struggling with. If you're a younger woman, you know, I'm 36. I'm getting close to 40. Y'all pray for me, but I think I still look good for my age. I hope so. But I'll be 37 in May, but I'll take on the older crowd. If you're older and you're having a problem, and you're struggling with your femininity, and you need some help and some work, call me. Send me a message. Call Perfection Deliverance Ministries. You can contact me. And if you're younger, if you're a lot younger than what I am, Landis could almost be my daughter. That's bad, but that's okay. But if you're younger and you're struggling with your femininity, get in contact with Philandis. At the end of the show, she's going to give us her contact information. And if you're struggling with that there, I think she can definitely help you out because she's absolutely beautiful. So, I just thank you for being on the show. I'm enjoying this. During the show at any time, just let the callers know if you have a question or comment. You can press 1 on your keypad. I do have the chat lines open, and there are so many people on there right now. And I just thank God for you all for being on this evening. But, Philandis, question
yes,
for
ma'am.
You. How did the sexual abuse affect your perspective of your feelings toward men?
You know, I didn't know. God is just now revealing to me how that affected me, how it affected my feelings towards men, how it affected my perspective towards men. And it's so crazy, if anybody's listening and they heard any of my other interviews, I'm not lying about anything. It's just that God is still dealing with my heart and showing me different things, because actually when I was abused all those times as a child, I didn't remember that stuff. You know, I didn't have it in my conscious memory. I didn't have any dreams about it. The first dream that came to me that was more so, it wasn't really a dream. It was just God had unlocked that memory because I blocked it out. I didn't remember it. I had my first dream about what happened when I was about 2 or 3 years old. I had that this past April in 2015. And so that was the first dream I had. And then actually, probably about 2 months ago, maybe a month ago, I'll say, God started showing me all the other times it happened. So I didn't even remember. And when he was showing me, I noticed that at those times, while it was happening, I wouldn't tell the boys to stop. I would just take it, and I wouldn't say anything, and I would go to another place in my mind until it was over, and I would act like it wasn't happening. And so I didn't know at the time, you know. But now that God is showing me, you know, I had this, it was like a rage towards men in general. Like, it wasn't just towards the boys that did it. It was just a rage towards men in general. Like, I was very defensive with men. Even if a boy would approach me and try to compliment me, I was automatically on the defense. Like, I don't want you talking to me. I don't want you looking at me. Don't touch me. Don't do anything. I was just always defensive. And, you know, I'm still coming out of that. Like, I'm more open and friendly and inviting towards men, but it left me feeling unsafe, like men would try to hurt me. It left me feeling hurt, you know, just like how could you hurt me like that? Or, you know, how could you do that to me? I felt a plethora of emotions. So it was rage, it was hatred, it was bitterness, it was feeling unsafe and unprotected. It was feeling a feeling of abandonment. Like, every time a man would come into my life, or a male, I should say, even if they were my age, I wouldn't allow males to get close to me because there was this feeling of expectation that I would be abandoned, that they would walk away from me. Or, you know, different times that boys have said that they liked me in my childhood and then turned around and said, I don't like you no more. I like so-and-so. She cuter. You know, like, you know, boys do that, but because of what I had been through, it affected me in a different way. And so I always had low self-esteem, and I didn't feel like I was worth being pursued. And so, yeah, it left me feeling like a smorgasbord of emotions and broken perspectives of men. I didn't feel like they were really true. You know, the whole Prince Charming thing, or women, we have this thing where we're like, yeah, I want my man to be this way, and I want him to do this and this and that. It's like I had that desire in my heart after a while, but I didn't really believe that that was something that could be real, and let alone something that I would get, because I didn't feel like I was worth being pursued. I didn't feel attractive, you know, and so it left me pretty broken in my perspective of men. And it was mostly subconscious, but God is starting to reveal that. I'm realizing how I have felt all my life towards men after experiencing all of that.
I understand that, and you know, I know that I wasn't molested or anything, you know, by a man or anything, but I had ill feelings towards men, and it's like I would look at them, and it's almost like they just completely disgusted me. And I mean, it's not like they did anything to me or anything, because even it's odd, because even in me being in that homosexual lifestyle for such a long time, I was getting hit on by as many men as I was by women. And I would sit there and I would ask the guy, why are you hitting on me? And we're trying to hit on the same thing. You know, I like women, you like women. Why are you hitting on me? And they're like, LaToya, I see beneath all those baggy clothes. I see beneath all that hurt and everything that's in your face, all that pain, all that frustration that you're going through, I see this beautiful woman under there, under everything that you have on. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't see that. You know, I'm just trying to, you know, I'm just trying to find the next woman. And that's really all I cared about. But now that I have emerged into the woman that I am now, this woman of God that I am now, and I'm embracing my feminine side, and women and men are looking and actually turning their heads and all of this thing. And I enjoy that now. And that's not something that I enjoyed before. I didn't want guys to look at me. I didn't want them to, you know, I didn't want the heads to turn and anything. I didn't want any kind of attention from any man, period. I just wanted the attention of women. But now that I'm getting attention from nothing but men, and I'm gonna say that, I'm gonna stress that as well, but nothing but men. You should not be getting any attention from a woman, because that means you need to go back to the drawing board. That means that there's some residue that's on you still, if you're getting the attention of a woman still. And I can honestly say that I'm not being approached, whether it's in person, even online. Not through Facebook, not through anything, not through, you know, someone calling me on my phone, calling my prayer line, nothing. I'm not being approached by a woman at any type of way, unless it's they're coming to me for help, or they just want to come to me just to speak or anything.
Right.
So that's
right.
If we just stay on the wall. And that's something that I want to tell you, Philandus. Just stay on the wall. Just continue to pray. Just continue to fast, because everything that has happened in your past has happened for a reason, and it's going to make you stronger. You're an overcomer, and you've done that because you've transitioned from the woman that you were to the woman that you are now. So God has a plan for your life. You're going to do great things. You're going to do big things in your life. So just stay on the wall. Just continue doing what you're doing. I know that you have your mentor and everything, and just continue just to stay close. Just stay close by with her. Stay close in your church. Continue to stay strong and to stay faithful to your pastor. I'm going to be coming down there soon. Actually, I need to get with Bishop Jakes, because I want to incorporate his church in part of my tour that I'm going to do later on this summer. So I would love to come there and do a book signing for my book when it releases here in a few months or so, and I'll come down there and be able to see you and everything. But just stay on the wall. That's really what I have for you, just to stay on the wall. Just continue to do what you're doing. Just continue to be faithful. Just continue to love God with everything that you have, and he's going to bless you. I promise you, he's blessing you now, and he's going to continue to do it because of your faithfulness. But at this time, what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick commercial break. So if you all have something that you need to do real brief, just go ahead, and we're going to come back here in just a moment.
What is the church? Is the church a building? Is the church a pastor? Or the staff? Is the church the music? The tradition? Or the ministries? These are all good things, but they are not the church. Take them away, and the church is still here. Why? Because you are still here. The church is you. The church is you with a purpose. The church is you on a mission. The church is you with a plan. A simple plan to plug into God at a weekend service, to charge up in a small group community, to live out using your gifts and passions, and to pass on your faith to those who do not know Christ. When you and I live like this, all the things we used to do in church become things we do as the church. God desires it. The world needs it. And we are called to be it. What is the church? The church is you.
Produce any type of radio commercial for your business, and also use our experience as marketers to help you find the right type of advertisement for your business. We understand that you're investing your money on a short radio commercial, which is why we make sure that every second of it is perfect and filled with as many marketing tools as possible, like incorporating your slogans, composing your very own original background music,
utilizing spokespeople,
or even
from calm, informative commercials
to exciting, attention-grabbing commercials, we make sure to find the attitude that will impress the exact demographic you're trying to reach. So no matter what type of business you have, we have the technological know-how and marketing expertise to produce the perfect advertisement for your business. Remember, a skillfully produced advertisement can actually prove to be an asset. So don't you think it's time you got your business headed in the right direction?
And we are back to Reach Perfecting Deliverance Radio, in case you're just tuning in. I'm your host, LaToya Haley, and I do have my guest here, Philandus Harris, who is on the line tonight, telling us her story, her testimony of deliverance from homosexuality. You still there, Ms. Harris?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Well, the question that I have is, what brought on the desire for change, and how was God involved in that?
Well, I did not grow up in church. My parents, they just taught me what the Bible had to say about sin. They taught me that, you know, Jesus is the Savior of the world, and that we believed in God, and everything that the Bible said was true. And so there were seeds planted here and there throughout my young adult years, my teenage years. You know, I remember specific times my dad, he would just come out of nowhere seemingly and just show me a scripture in the Bible that spoke against homosexuality. And when he did it, it used to drive me nuts. It just used to get me really hot, mad. And he wouldn't be doing it in a disowning way or a bashing way. He would do it from his heart as a father to let me know that, you know, from a spiritual perspective, you know, if we believe in God and we believe in what the Bible says, I want you to know that what you're doing is wrong according to the Bible. You know, my parents, they never disowned me or anything. They were they're very loving and supportive of me. They didn't condone and support my lifestyle, but they didn't disown me, you know. And so it would just be random points I can remember throughout my teenage years where he would just show me scripture somewhere that spoke against homosexuality, and it used to make me mad every time. And so even though it made me mad, I'm thankful for it because God was using him to plant seeds in me, you know, to know. It was like to make me accountable, whether I agreed with it or whether I felt good about it or not. It made me accountable. And so I would say it was always in me to know that the Bible spoke against homosexuality. And because of that, there was a part of my heart that didn't want to be that way if the Bible was saying that it's wrong, you know, and specifically the scripture in 1 Corinthians that talks about homosexuals not inheriting the kingdom of God. And that struck me in such a way, like an offensive way. It struck my heart in an offensive way. And I was like, you know, well, I mean, I don't want to do what the Bible is saying is wrong, but I don't know how to change, you know. And so I think what really brought about the desire to change is just those seeds that were planted. You know, I can remember a specific time, and I'll go more into detail with this later. But in high school, when I was in my senior year, it was close to the time of prom, and I wasn't going to go to prom because I was just really going through it. At the beginning of that year, my grandmother had passed away, and I felt like giving up on everything. And so my mom convinced me to go. I went by myself, and then when I got there, this guy asked me to be his date. And so towards the end of the night, I saw all the couples on the floor dancing, you know, the females that I knew dancing with their boyfriends. And just watching them, I had this desire in my heart, like, you know, at some point I know that I'm going to want to get married and be a wife and be a mother and have a family. And I can't do that if I'm gay. And those were my exact thoughts. And so at that point I started desiring really to change. And I mean, a few times before that, you know, when I actually received Christ at 17, that's when the initial desire came. But, it was just, I feel like it was just God drawing on the true woman in me, like my true identity, despite what I thought I was supposed to be and despite what my thoughts were telling me and what my feelings were telling me. I feel like whether if you're a man and if you're a woman, you're going to desire what men and women desire. And so it was like, I felt like God was just digging up the dirt off of those desires that had been suppressed and buried under everything. And so, yeah, that's the first time I can remember really wanting to change seriously, even after I accepted Christ into my life.
That's interesting. With me growing up in the church, and my father actually is a pastor. He wasn't a pastor at the time, but he was a minister. And me actually growing up in the church, I can remember going to church as long as I can remember, as long as I've been able to remember, we've been in the church. And I know people ask me the question, they're like, okay, LaToya, how is it that your father is a pastor and how do you end up being a homosexual for 15 years? How does that happen? And because it's my sister and I, we're a year and 3 months apart, and my sister has never been that way, and she's married and has a child and everything. She's been married for 10 years, and how is it that I be in this lifestyle for 15 years? What happened? What, you know, what transpired? And I want to say this because I'm going to tell you how the enemy works. One, he always wants to try to attack the church. He wants to try to attack and the people in it, because he wants to kill, destroy, he wants to tear down. And people always say that PK's, preacher's kids, are the worst kids, and that's not true. That's who the devil will go after. He's going to attack. That's what he's going to do, because he feels like he can't get to them. So he's just going to, he's going to continue doing what he can do. He's going to try to get in where he fits in. And I know my mother has always told me, if you let the devil ride, he'll want to drive. So if you give him an inch, he's going to try to take a mile. So you can't give him any room. And that's what I did. I kept giving him room. I kept giving him an inch and kept giving him an inch and another inch and another inch until I was completely out there. And I was out there for so long. But I'll tell you this, even though, even if I never would have grew up in the church, us as women and men being the men that they are, it's not natural. It doesn't matter what people say, it's not a natural feeling for a woman to have feelings for another woman, or for a man to have feelings for a man, because that means that God made a mistake. He didn't create Adam for Adam. He created Adam for Eve. And for the man and woman to come together to reproduce, to multiply the earth. And that's what we're here for. So the feelings that you had at that time, that I had, I'm glad that God delivered us from that, because he didn't have to give us an opportunity to be able to receive the deliverance, because there are some people that have lost their lives that were struggling or going through that, or whatever the case may be. They may have been caught in the world and they lost their lives, and everyone is not going to have a chance to be able to repent and get their life together. So that you've given your life to Christ and have repented for what you have done in your past life and everything, that's beautiful. That's a good thing that God gave you the opportunity to be able to get it right one more time. And I cry sometimes, and I shed tears, and they're always tears of joy, because I'm so thankful for God allowing me a chance for me to be able to get it right, because he didn't have to. I know there's people that have laid down at night and that were in a lifestyle of homosexuality, and they never woke up, or they were at a club and they lost their lives. And I did many of different things. I went to clubs. My sister and I, we used to go to clubs. We weren't saved, and we used to party. And I was never a heavy drinker, never nothing like that. I was a social drinker. I called myself a social drinker. And I never smoked, and I never did any drugs. So I was good to a certain extent, but I was never comfortable in that lifestyle, being out in the world, which I'm sure that you probably weren't either. So just to be able to get it right one more time is always good. And that you have gotten, you know, you've changed your life. What did your deliverance and transition process look like?
Yeah. One quick thing I want to say, I feel like God is impressing this on my heart before I answer that question. When I first received Christ, the story behind that is I was 17 years old, and I had a girlfriend at the time, and my mom actually took us to church with her one Sunday, and I don't know what the preacher was talking about for the whole sermon. I can't recall, but I do know that when he did the altar call, we were sitting in the very back row, and when he did the altar call, I felt like there was somebody up there standing next to him with a lasso, like a rope, that they threw into the crowd, and it got gripped around my heart, and they just started pulling at it nonstop as hard as they could, and I couldn't shake it off. I couldn't try to act like I didn't feel it. I couldn't harden my heart or anything. I felt like my heart was going to explode if I didn't get out of that pew and go up to the front to answer that altar call. And so I'm just, like, bawling, crying, like, tears just coming down my face and everything. And I told my mom, I said, hey, I have to answer this call. And so she encouraged me. I went up there. The girlfriend, she came up with me, but it was more so a support thing. and we were taken into the other room, and we said the prayer of salvation, and I received Christ that day. What I want to say is to anybody that's in that lifestyle right now, whether you're a female or a male, if you have received Christ but you still don't see any change, or you still battle with the attraction to the same sex, or you still have the thoughts and the emotions and the feelings and everything, don't take that as you haven't been saved. Because what it means to be saved is that you confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he died on the cross for your sins, and that you admit that you sinned and it was for your sin that he died, and that you invited him into your life to be your Lord and Savior and to forgive you of all your sins. That's all it takes to be saved. Because I feel like there's somebody that either is listening now or will be listening at some point who is battling depression and suicidal thoughts. And I kind of see, it might be a female, it might be a male, I'm not sure, but I kind of see somebody just sitting on the edge of their bed, holding their head, just boo-hoo, weeping, like crying, because they're having all of these thoughts. The enemy is attacking them and telling them that they ain't never going to change, and that God don't want nothing to do with them, and that this change that they're working towards is impossible. And I just want to tell you right now that that's a lie from the devil. And you are changed, you are saved, you are forgiven, and God is meeting you right where you're at, and your change and your transformation process is starting right now. So I don't know who you are, but God has you on his heart, he has you on his mind, and I just want to let you know that you are changed, you're forgiven, God loves you, and he sees you, and he hears your cries. And so I just wanted to address that first. But, yeah, so what my deliverance and transition process looks like. And so after I received Christ, I broke up with the girl. I told her, you know, we can't be together anymore, because if I'm going to live this life for God, I can't be in this lifestyle. She didn't really understand. She didn't agree with what I was saying, and she was upset. But I had to do that because that was the conviction that I felt in my heart, like, you know, God forgave me and I'm saved now, but he doesn't want me living that way. And so after I broke up with her, I started going to church on my own for about 2 months. Every time there was service, every time the doors were open, I was there. I was still looking like a stud. I still had my hair braided. I still had on men's clothing, but I was there every service faithfully because I had this hunger to get closer to God, and I had this hunger to change and to get to know him and to feel his presence. But I wasn't discipled or mentored or anything. And so I wasn't taught about what temptation was. I wasn't taught about deliverance. I wasn't taught about, any process that I would go through for deliverance. I wasn't taught about any of that. I was just going off of this hunger that I felt in my heart. And so after a while, another young lady approached me, and I basically went back to that lifestyle with her for like a whole year. And what happened? Yeah, so I ended up going back to the lifestyle with her, and then that was the young lady that I was with whenever I was going to prom. And I when I made up in my mind that at some point that I was going to want to be a wife and a mother, I made up in my mind that I was going to go in this relationship with her and give it another try and start back going to church. So I did that. Shortly after that, another girl came, and I fell back into that lifestyle for another few months. And during that time, that was probably one of the worst relationships that I had ever been in. Like, it was a lot of things that I got caught up in that just weren't good at all. And her mom was actually a minister. And so during that time, when God was starting to pull on my heart again to get out of the lifestyle, I had this dream. And in the dream, it was myself. It was a few of my friends that I was connected with in that lifestyle at the time. and it was this tall, skinny, light-skinned girl. And we were all riding through this neighborhood, kind of just like running from something that was life-threatening. And we were following the girl, and then some of the people, they started falling off. Like, the crowd got smaller and smaller, and I was kind of conflicted because I didn't know if I wanted to go with her and keep following her or if I wanted to go with my friends. But the girl kept saying, like, no, don't go with them. Just come on, keep following me. And I was like, okay. And eventually all of the friends fell off, and it was just me and her getting out of this neighborhood. And so when I woke up, it was kind of like startling, that dream, because I had never had a dream like that before. And I told the girl's mom about it, and she actually she interpreted the dream for me, and she said God was saying that he was going to bring this young lady, referring to the light-skinned girl in the dream, that he was going to bring this young lady into my life, and we were going to be close, but not close like I had been with all my ex-girlfriends. It was going to be in a pure way. And he said that she said that she was going to help me stay accountable, and I needed to guard that relationship with my life. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to listen to that, so I'm going to be on the lookout for this girl. And so, anyway, to fast forward, when I started my freshman year in high school, or not high school, I'm sorry, in college, I decided again, after I broke up with that girl, I was like, okay, I'm going to get back on the right track. I'm going to start back going to church and everything. And so this one particular night after I had joined the church that I was at, I was at Bible study, and there was this young lady sitting in the front row, and I was like burning holes into the back of her head. I had never met her. I had never seen her before or anything. And it was like these voices in my head. One of the voices was saying, like, stop staring at her. She's stupid. You don't need to talk to her. Then the other voice was like, no, you really need to talk to her. It's important, and it's life. It's like life or death. You need to talk to her. So I ended up talking to the girl, and I told her my whole life story, and I don't do that. Like, I don't open up to people that I don't know. And basically my pastor ended up asking this girl to mentor me. And so we exchanged contact information. Maybe about a month later, we really started hanging out, and she started taking me to church with her and everything. And this one specific night, we had come to her house, and in the house that she was staying in, she had what's called a worship room, and the presence of God was really heavy in there. And so we went in there. We were just kind of listening to worship music and praying and spending time with God. And she started praying for me. And when she started praying for me, I went through my deliverance process. I started crying, and I had to start confessing different things that I had done and denouncing my lifestyle and breaking the soul ties that I had with, you know, all the girls that I had had any sexual interaction with. And after that night, it lasted for a few hours, honestly. But after that night, she had me to throw away all of my male clothes. And when I say that I had a very extensive wardrobe, I had a very, very, very extensive wardrobe. Like, you could go shopping in my closet if you were a male. That's how big my wardrobe was. And, you know, I had male shoes, male socks, male pants, underwear, shirts, fitted caps and do-rags and coats, and everything was male. And so she told me I had to throw all that away. And I was like, what? Like, seriously? And right. So by the time we were done, there was like three big old heavy-duty garbage bags full of clothes. And I had one pair of girl pants that I had since the eighth grade. At that time, I was 18, so I had it since I was 13. I had one pair of girl pants and one short-sleeve girl shirt, and it was in the middle of wintertime, and that's all I could wear. And so, yeah, like, I had to throw away not just clothing, but everything that I had that connected me to that lifestyle, I had to throw away. So I had to throw away letters. I had to throw away gifts that different girls had given me. And different music that would remind me of certain relationships. I had to throw all that stuff away. And so that was the first pivotal moment that I had in my transition. And so after that, you know, my mentor, she was able to give me clothing. And actually, one important part, one day we went to church, my mentor and I, and I asked her what it meant to be accountable. And she told me what it meant. And when she told me what it meant, the dream that I had about the tall, light-skinned girl came back to mind. And I told her, I said, "You're the girl from my dream. Like, I dreamed about you before I met you." And she was just like, "Wow, that's crazy." And so she's my mentor, Tamika Sanders. That's the girl that I had the dream about, God showed me before I met her. And she's the person that I'm referring to. She discipled me every day for 6 months. She showed me how to read the Bible, how to pray, how to battle, not battle, but how to resist temptation. She taught me about who God was, my identity. And this one last thing that I'm going to say, as it relates to the transition process, there was this one day I came over to her house, and she did my hair up. She curled it, she did my makeup, put me in a dress and a pair of heels. And when she did all of that, she told me to look into this full body mirror so that I could see myself. She said, "I want you to look at yourself for 30 minutes. When she said that, I spent 20 of those minutes looking at the floor. And when I finally looked at myself, I just burst into tears. And she was like, Why couldn't you look at yourself?" And I told her that, first of all, I couldn't look at myself because I felt like my head was stuck down, like my eyes were stuck and glued to the floor. So I couldn't. I was having some resistance. But secondly, the reason why I couldn't look at myself is because up until that moment, every time I looked in the mirror, I saw a man. I didn't see a woman. I didn't see anything feminine. I didn't see anything attractive. I didn't see gorgeous or beautiful. I saw a boy. I saw who I thought I was supposed to be. And this was the first time that I was seeing myself as I truly was. I was seeing myself as God intended for me to see look like. I was seeing myself for the first time. And you know, from that point on, you know, I had to be intentional to kind of just do the most. Like, I used to love the colors black and red in that lifestyle. I couldn't wear anything black and red. I had to wear pink and purple and yellow and orange and, you know, neon colors. I had to go to the extreme in order to create my feminine habits. And it took a minimum, I'll say, of a year. I had to do that stuff. Every time I left out the house, I had to make sure I looked like I was going to the Grammys in Hollywood or something. Like, I had to make sure that I was on my P's and Q's with looking like a woman. And it was uncomfortable. Like, when I first started doing it, tight pants made my skin crawl because I'm like, "Oh, my God, you're touching my skin. Get it off." But, yeah, that's like the gist of my transition process. I'm sorry that was a long story.
I'm gonna have you back on again because I know that I've looked at some of your videos too, and I see that you play the keyboard too. So I'm gonna have a part two with you back on very, very soon for you to come back on and talk with me a little bit more, and maybe we'll have you play something because I'm a musician as well. I love music. So I said, maybe we can have you back on again. But I thank you for everything that you have said. My mom is going crazy over here, and she's messaging me. And there's a lot of people that have been on the chat line, and they're working and but they're listening in. So I just thank God for you being on. I know we have about 15 minutes left on the program. I want you to be able to tell the callers how they can reach you, whether it's via Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, how is it that our listeners can, how they can reach out to you if they want to contact you for your ministry or just to be able to reach out to you?
Oh, sure. Also, I also have my own radio show now. It's called Relentless Pursuit. It airs every Monday evening, 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 6:30 Pacific Standard Time. And my Facebook is Philandis Harris. My Instagram is Relentless Pursuit _ Philandis. You can either tune in to our show as well. My mentor and I, we co-host it at blogtalkradio.com/MCD Network. Or you can email us at relentlesspursuit@mycoachd.net. Those are a few different ways for you to reach us. And, yeah, anytime you want to ask a question, just send me an inbox message or follow me on Instagram or however, whatever is more convenient for you, that's how you can reach me.
And that's absolutely awesome. I've really enjoyed you being on. I know that you're 24 and I'm 36, and I was teasing earlier about you being that I could be your mother. No, I couldn't be your mother, but I love to hear a young woman's story, because I am closer to 40, but I do enjoy hearing a young woman's story of your caliber that has been delivered and that you are living a holy life. You, Simone, for those young women, because at the age that you are now, I was really just getting started. I started in that lifestyle at the age of 21. So
wow.
For you to be 24 and you're saved and sanctified, I thank God for you and you and your mentor. I hope your mentor is listening on. I'm pretty sure that she is. But I thank God for you both, for the ministry, for the work that you've been doing. I've been listening to your radio show. I know you've done two shows, and I've listened in, and I heard some of your testimony and everything. I've actually been following you on Facebook for a while, and I've been meaning to have you on the show a lot sooner than what I did, but I know that God does everything in its timing. So I just thank you for accepting and just coming on the show this evening. And I thank God for all of the listeners. I pray that something was said by myself or by Ms. Harris here that touched you and opened some eyes for you. She has an awesome testimony. This is being recorded, so it's going to be uploaded to the website here briefly so that you can check it out. Tell somebody. Tell somebody to tune in. Tell them to listen in. And I hope and I pray that something was said and that some chains were broken, that someone will be loosed just by listening into the testimony. So I just thank God for you.
Absolutely.
On next week to be having I'm going to be having a guest. Pastor D.L. Foster is going to be on the show on next week. So you all come back and speak with me and listen with me and chit-chat with me on next week. We're going to be here again at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, and he's going to be my guest, and he has an awesome, awesome testimony. He's been out of the lifestyle for several years, and he's married, and he has children. I'm not going to tell too much of his testimony, but he is going to be my guest on next week. So I'm excited to have another male that has that testimony of deliverance from homosexuality. It can be done. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Just continue to pray. Just continue to fast. If you know anyone, someone that is in that lifestyle, that is a part of that lifestyle, and whether it's homosexuality, whether it's alcoholism, whether it's pornography, whether it's drugs, whatever it is that they, whatever their vice is, just know that if you continue to pray for them, that God will touch their heart, that he can come in and he can save you if you let him. So I thank everyone for being for listening in tonight. I want to thank again my guest, Ms. Harris, Ms. Philanda Harris, for being on the show with me this evening. And we're going to be back here on next week. We're going to take it out with a song on this evening, and we know that we were worth fighting for. So I just thank you all, and you all have a blessed evening.
met me deep in my despair to show me you would never leave me there. You claimed me 'cause I was made for so much more. I am your child and I'm worth fighting for. Oh, heavy with the weight of my mistakes, you carried me and refused to let me sink under the pressure you meant for me to soar. I am your child and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me, and nothing can separate me from your love. And so much more, still worth fighting for. Now I'm moving by faith and not by sight towards victory. By the power of your might, you're straightening out my path. Don't think every door, I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for.
Nothing can separate me from your love.
When there's so much more,
yes,
eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all your plans for me,
and nothing
can separate me from your love. When there's so much more, still worth fighting for. That's why I'm pressing towards the mark. 'Cause the calling on my life is worth fighting for. And I'll keep my mind stayed on you, Jesus, because the peace it brings is worth fighting for. And I'll be faithful to my wife and children. Cause my family is worth fighting for. No, this world is not my home, but your kingdom here is worth fighting for. I got a mansion over in glory, and my new home is worth fighting for. Did I see? Hallelujah, here, 'cause my
Y'all help me say that. Say it one more time for me. It's happening.
Victory is mine, victory today.